It should come as no surprise that this market has totally been engulfed with what's been going on with China, and that's the discussions between two presidents and beyond. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Sue Martin joins us today. Sue, of course, with Ag and Investment out of Clarion, Iowa. So let's get your takeaway. We saw that post yesterday on social media. The beans immediately reacted, and even today, the beans continue to have a lot of discussions about what's going on between the two countries.
Well, I think it's interesting because yesterday, before President Trump reported his comment, Reuters had also put out an article, and it was almost like affirmative that China did agree, or Xi had agreed, to 8 million metric tons more of soybeans, which would put the total for 25-26 at 20 million metric tons. And of course, there's many in the industry that are poo-pooing it, just like they did on the 12 million metric tons, and don't believe it, don't think it's going to happen. And I think they're wrong. I think it will happen. One, China knows who they're dealing with. And two, right now, well, part of that comment by President Trump also included that China does not want the U.S. sending arms into Taiwan. Now, what's interesting about that is if you don't plan to go in and take them over, you wouldn't care, because Taiwan certainly isn't going to go in and try to take China. So, you know, that's kind of a little concern. But on the same token, you know, President Trump wants China to buy their oil, their crude, from the U.S. What's interesting is that China gets 70% of their crude oil from Venezuela. And after removing Maduro, I wonder how that's all going. And then 15% from Iran, which again, that's not on the smoothest waters. And then the rest from Russia. But they did talk about, 8 million metric tons more. And some are saying, but then that's going to make, between a good crush on beans for renewable fuels and for, the biodiesel industry, that would, between that crush and then sending 20 million bushels over to, for the old crop, not to mention now we've got 25 million that they're going to be or supposed to be buying for the new crop of 26-27, that it would extremely make our carryout tight. Yeah, it would. But then why have we been complaining that we didn't have them before? And in the meantime, if you look at last year, one would have to say, even before, if you had no knowledge that we were going to see a trade deal for 12 million metric tons, wouldn't one have had to ask a question, why aren't we making lower lows than the year before? And on Tuesday, the Brazilian farmer sold about 600,000 metric tons of soybeans for the export market. Basis was up 4 cents. Then on that news yesterday, it thought with the big jump in the market that they probably would have tripled about that 600,000, maybe done 1.8 million in sales for export. But the basis fell 15 cents for the export market yesterday. Well, it probably fell because of the news that the U.S. would probably be selling beans, more beans, 8 million metric tons more. And so, but that's not the crushers, the private entities in China. They go to Brazil because of cheaper. But the state-owned enterprises like Sinograin and Costco International Grains, they end up taking U.S. soybeans. But the one thing about China, you have to remember, if they're agreeing to do something like this, they've already got them bought. And it's easy for them to agree, and they know full well what the market's going to do. They're not going to agree to do something before they have got themselves committed. And so they can buy our board just as easily as we do, or just as easily as Brazil does, or Brazil selling on our board when they're harvesting. So it's kind of interesting. And I think they'll fulfill it. I also believe they'll fulfill the 25 million metric tons that they've agreed to for this year, next year, and the year of 28, 29. Then after President Trump's no longer president, we're into another ballgame again. But for now, I think they will do it. I think they need the crop. One, they had horrific floods, but they started off in corn and wheat with extreme dryness, drought. And they made a jump from that over to flooding so bad that the government had to help farmers get their crops out of the fields. And that's not good for crop quality. It's not good for production. And even though they try to paint a different story, it's their action. And they're looking at, and if they're looking to buy sorghum, they're going to be buying corn. We're getting lots of demand, so to speak, lots of sales going to unknown destinations for corn. Who knows? It could be China. We won't know right away. And in the meantime, everybody wants to be bear, bear, bear on corn. And I disagree with them. Yes, the one thing that concerns me the most for the corn market is the stocks on farm that farmers are holding. It's record. But beyond that, here we have this big production. And interestingly, going back, I'm getting ready to go out and speak here for a seed company in another week. And what's interesting is when you look at the corn market and you see that huge production and acres, the jump in acres, which I do think some of it was silage. And yes, I think there was some marginal ground that yielded better than anyone would have believed. I had clients telling me in areas where it was marginal ground, they had the best yields they've ever had. But I do think that it's interesting because I have a chart that my assistant was putting together, and it shows, you know, the January report and what have you, and then it shows the final. I said to her, you don't have the final on my graph. And she said, look at this. And we went back, and it's not uncommon. In fact, almost every year you see the government, the NAS, comes back, and they change either the acres or the yield, and they change production. So it's interesting because that's been a habit of theirs. So she said, how do I put that on here when it's going to change? It's not written in stone. So time will tell. But in the meantime, let's take them at face value that we have all that production. Well, what's interesting is I thought, okay, let's see how bad does the world need us? So I took us out of the picture, and I did it for soybeans too. I took us out of the picture, and the rest of the world, and they call that a foreign production deficit. So your bar starts at, or the line starts at zero, and it's assuming the rest of the world, which includes Brazil and Argentina in it, does not produce enough that they have to come to the U.S. And we want to see how bad they need us. Well, in corn, it is a record need. 101 million metric tons is what it pencils out to. And I thought that was huge. So I don't want to get bear, bear, bear on corn. On beans, yes, with Brazil and Argentina in there. Of course, Brazil especially, you know, it's thought that they might be as high as 182 million metric tons in production. But technically, the government's standing at this time at 178 million metric tons. Well, okay. So, and they didn't change that in the last report in January. So, you know, taking that at face value, we don't have a record need. But it's still pretty dicey. The record was back in 21-22. And, of course, that's when the bean market exploded and went back up to the all-time highs of $18. And that was without China being in the market. Remember, they were in lockdown. So what would have it been if they hadn't have been in lockdown? They were in need. Their warehouses were empty. But in the meantime, we still show up, I believe, at around 64 million metric tons And the record, and I'd have to look back at it, but I'm thinking it's around 64 million metric ton need. And then the record being, of course, up over 80. So, you know, there's still a pretty good need for U.S. soybeans regardless.
All right, real quick as we wrap up, let's talk about this cattle market. A big struggle going on today in the trade, and obviously the vote coming in on the Greeley, Colorado facility to go on strike is going to cause some big concerns within this cattle complex.
Well, it's interesting because technically yesterday targeted as a cycle window day, and it was a major one. And the market rallied on feeder cattle on the March, for example, up to 373.60, I think it was. And the 375 would have filled the gap. It would have finished filling the gap. And then, of course, today we were down sharply, and now we've recouped a chunk of today's break. We're still down sharply, though, 425 points as you and I speak. And the April's at 512 lower. But the thing is that when they're looking at, and Greeley's a major plant, when they look at going on strike, yes, that backs up cattle. So that's thought to be a little negative. On the same token, it also stops the product from getting into the chain as they process and move that product going forward. And of course, February seasonally tends to be a weak month on the cutout. And it was looking so good on the first few days of this week. And then yesterday afternoon, it just cratered. I think Select was down over $5. And so to me, I would think you're putting less product. If they stay on strike very long, you're going to put in less product. Plus, you're putting weight on the cattle because they're not getting processed. And in the meantime, you're also backing up those numbers because while you're putting more weight on. So I just think that it's not, it's interesting because I had cycle window timing. We rallied right into it beautifully and got our reversal. But on the same token, my indicators technically are leaning in a low level. Now, that's not to say we can't chop around in here for a week or whatever it takes to get them back up and going. But I think it just seems to me that that should be more temporary and not a longer-term concern. And with the way my daily indicators are setting, it still makes me think we could come down here, chop around, and even set up what could be a major head and shoulders bottom on the feeder cattle. And I'm one that is looking to be a hedger, but I just question, are we really done with the rally? It was a perfect spot. They have low risk. They knew right over, just over the highs. I think, what is that, 378 something? And so it was low risk for anybody that's been long to get out or to sell short and put your stops right above the highs. Perfect timing.
All right. Sue Morton joining us today, of course, with Ag and Investment out of Clarion, Iowa. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that is the Thursday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.